Acts chapter 26. Acts is right after the Gospel of John. It's the fifth book of the New Testament. And it really serves as a history of the church that Jesus started and the churches that came out of that original church in the book of Acts. Today we're going to focus on the life and ministry of perhaps one of the most useful instruments of God's hand, the Apostle Paul. He says in Acts 26, in verse 1, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." I want to focus on the first part of verse 2, this statement that he makes, because I think it's really extraordinary. He says, I think myself happy. You know, happiness is something that nearly everyone spends a lifetime searching for, but rarely find. Happiness, to many people, is like a hidden treasure. They just can't seem to locate it. And as I observe the world in my brief 58 plus years, I see that very few people in this world are really happy. A lot of folks are miserable. Many are occupied with personal and financial problems, social disorders, wayward children, drunkenness, drug abuse, all of which are circumstances that could very easily lead to a state of unhappiness. Yet in our text, we find the Apostle Paul declaring before the royal court of King Agrippa that he was happy. I don't know if you've studied the life of Paul, but this guy was one of the top dogs, if you will, among the religious authorities of his day. And when he came to Jesus Christ and believed on him, it cost him everything. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, he said that he counts all things but loss for the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Paul the Apostle, when he was saved, he became enemy number one as far as the Jews were concerned. He was happy, he says, despite the circumstances that he found himself in. Now, there's been plenty of times I've been unhappy. And if you're honest, you probably have as well. You have those feelings of unhappiness. You may even get disappointed, despairing, discouraged, and even depressed. So it really encouraged me when I was studying for this message to think how the Apostle Paul could overcome overwhelming circumstances and yet say, I think myself happy. You see, he had found the key to true and lasting happiness. It's in Jesus Christ. Every true child of God ought to enjoy, cultivate, and maintain an attitude of genuine happiness. Our sins are forgiven. The Spirit of the Lord dwells in us. We have the Word of God to guide us and instruct us. We have lots of friends that love the Lord. We got people that pray for us, that are concerned about us. We've been blessed with good families. And we're on our way to heaven. So we've got plenty. If we just ponder and think for a moment, we've got plenty to be happy about. Now, I want to tell you the circumstances that brought Paul to this point and the circumstances that he found himself in. He had gone to Jerusalem to carry the gospel to his brethren, to the Jews. His chief desire was to see his kinsmen saved, those of his lineage. He said in Romans chapter 9, verse 2 and 3, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He had a real burden for the Jewish people. He said in Romans 10, 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. You know, if you have family that loves you enough to tell you about the gospel of Christ, if you have parents that love you enough that they'll share the gospel with you and teach you the Word of God, you ought to thank God for that. Now, here he was trying to reach out to the very people that hated him, despised him, and persecuted him. In fact, it was the Jews who falsely accused him. Look at there in chapter 21 and verse 27. Acts 21, verse 27. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. They grabbed him, crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. They had falsely accused him. Now think with me for a minute. When your original intentions are thwarted and you are falsely accused by your own countrymen, you would tend to think you'd be unhappy. He was trying to help them. They falsely accused them. Yet Paul did not get bitter. He did not allow his circumstances to dictate his degree of happiness. He had been the subject of Jewish persecution. While he was in Jerusalem, an angry mob ran upon him and began physically beating him. You ever had a mob of people beat you up? It ain't no fun. Now, I've been beaten up several times, but not by a mob. Just by somebody that was bigger and stronger than me. I'll never forget when old Georgie Jake, I used to always be able to outrun him. And I used to always, he was about 5 years older than me, and I'd say, Georgie, putting in a pie, kissed the girls and made them cry. I used to always say that, and then I'd run. You know, one day, Georgie Jake, I was playing in the woods. You know, we had a little bit of woods where we lived, and I was playing down the creek, and I remember coming up the hill. Next thing I know, I'm just getting right up to the edge of the woods. And the next thing I know, I was on the ground. Old Georgie Jake had come running full speed and tackled me, bull rushed me. And he started beating the fire out of me, man. I'll never forget that. I kept on singing that song, though. I know if I could see him, I'd outrun him, but I couldn't beat him up. But look at this in Acts chapter 21 and verse 30. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Now you think about this. He's close to being beat to death. Their intention was to kill him. Now let's think. When you're physically beaten by people that you're trying to help, it tends to deter your level of happiness, wouldn't it? He had been the subject of an assassination plot by some zealous Jews who had vowed not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. Look at Acts chapter 22 and verses 12 through 15. That ain't it. Acts 23:12-15. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now, therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him." Here's an assassination plot. They conspired to kill the apostle. And yet, he survived this. God foiled their plan. But wherever he went, he found himself in the midst of people who were hostile and contrary to his religious convictions and the truths that he stood for. Just to give a couple of examples, look at Acts 22 and verse 22. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. I wonder how many preachers at last, if after they got done preaching, somebody said, "Get this guy, kill this guy." That's exactly what their intentions were. Look at chapter 24 and verse 5. Here's what they called him. "For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarene. This guy is a pest. He's vermin. He's a rat, a dirty rat. Like President Trump says sometimes. Look at chapter 26 and verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. This is after he had preached the gospel to Festus. This is how people were responding to the life, the ministry, the preaching, the teaching, the character of this missionary. And yet he still said, I think myself happy. Now, try to picture Paul the Apostle was chained to a Roman soldier. That meant that he had no physical freedom. He had to present his case to some crooked politicians who were immoral and wicked. Felix and Drusilla. And then later, Festus. Humanly speaking, his fate was in the hands of wicked politicians who cared only for their own well-being and not injustice being done. You can read that in chapter 24, verses 24 through 27. So the very people who Paul was attempting to help, the Jews, were his accusers and his opponents. From a human standpoint, the circumstances that Paul found himself in should have made him unhappy, depressed, and discouraged. Everywhere he turned, people were against him. Everywhere he went, it seems as though people were stirred against him and against the message that he was bringing. So when you start looking at all the facts pertinent to his life, it's astonishing to me that Paul could declare himself happy on this occasion that he had the ability to answer for himself. How in the world could that be? He had every reason to be unhappy. If I would have been placed in the same situation, knowing who I am, I wonder how many times I would have said, I'm not happy. I'm miserable. Lord, why are you letting this happen to me? Paul didn't do any of that. In fact, he told the Philippians, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Which brings me to my next point. Paul's true condition. You know, things don't always appear to be what they really are in the life of an individual whose life is committed to the Lord Jesus and one who is resting on the promises of God. In fact, Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. You know what the secret is? Paul had determined in his mind that he was indeed happy. He said, I think my self-happy. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He was not going to allow his bleak circumstances to dictate his emotional well-being. His mind was under the control of the Lord. And rather than focusing his thoughts on his problems, he focused on the Lord and his promises. I believe you and I can do the same thing today. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Romans 8, 6 says, For to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Proverbs 3 says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Don't you see that Paul turned every adversity and difficult circumstance over to the Lord? Rather than sulking over the situation and feeling sorry for himself, he directed his thoughts to what the Lord was doing in his life. His original intention of preaching the gospel to his brethren, the Jews, had been changed. Yet, while he was being led away by the Roman centurion, he was able to give his testimony of salvation to a great multitude of people. Even when he was imprisoned, he took advantage of opportunities given to display his happiness, his cheerfulness, and his trust in the Lord Jesus. He had been physically beaten, verbally abused, falsely accused, and persecuted. Instead of sulking over his situation, I think he claimed the promise of what Jesus said in Matthew 5. In verse 10, Jesus said, Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He found himself the object of an assassination plot. And yet, he did not fret. He didn't worry. He would later write in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, 5 and 6, For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. He was physically chained, standing before the king in tattered clothing. Yet his true condition was that he had been set free by the ransom price of Christ's blood. And in reality, before Almighty God, he was clothed with the garments of salvation. He may have looked to be poor and persecuted in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God, he had the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. So he could be glad. He could rejoice. From all appearances, his fate was in the hand of crooked politicians. But he knew the truth of Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. He was trusting in the sovereignty of God to make all things right. His plans, humanly speaking, had been thwarted. He wanted to preach in Jerusalem to his countrymen. God had arranged things otherwise. He had arranged, miraculously, for a police escort paid for by the Roman government so Paul could preach the gospel in Rome. It says in Acts 23:11, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou also bear witness of me at Rome." Pretty amazing how nothing rattled him. If I could make some practical applications as we consider this testimony. First thing you might be thinking is, well, the Apostle Paul, he was super spiritual. They don't make them like him anymore. His circumstances are entirely different from mine. And that may be true. I, for one, will admit, as I've examined the life of Paul, I couldn't hold a candle to his life. But I believe that all of God's people can be happy if we can focus our attention upon God and His promises rather than being overcome by our circumstances. You ever met somebody where it seemed like everything was against them, and yet they were still cheerful and happy and trusting the Lord? I met a girl in St. Louis when I preached out there. That's Forestdale, Missouri. And her name's Lisa Brooks. And she's got, I'm not sure what it is. It's a debilitating disease. She had been real healthy. I think it's MS. But I'm not sure what it is. But now when she speaks, her voice is real broken. And she can't walk real good. I think she has to use... Do you know what she does every day? I get an email from her every day. And she writes a devotion and sends it out to people every single day. And when you read this devotion, you can tell that she is just rejoicing in the Lord. She is not allowing her circumstances to deaden her enthusiasm as a child of God. And it inspires me. It encourages me when I see people like that. Now, if I can give you some practical suggestions how that you and I can maintain a happy life. Number one, be happy that you're saved by the grace of God. Deuteronomy 33, verses 26 through 29. I'm not going to take the time to read the verses, and my voice is giving out. But the thrust of it is where God says, "Happy art thou, O Israel, a people saved by the Lord." A people who are being carried by the everlasting arms of God. No matter what your circumstances, if you're saved, there's nothing that can top that. There's nothing greater than that. Be happy that God is the Lord. That He's sovereign in all things. Aren't you thankful that you're not running things? I can't tell you how many times I have fouled things up. Because I wanted to run it my own way. The happiest times in my life are when I just say, Lord, You're in control. I'm resting in You. I'm depending on You. Psalm 144, 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 146, 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Proverbs 16:20, whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. You want to be happy? Realize that God appoints afflictions and difficulties for our own good and for our spiritual maturity. 2 Corinthians 4, how many times have I quoted it? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our trials actually work for us in God's providence. And then learn to have confidence in the promises of God. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And then be content to rest in the Lord no matter what the circumstances. A lot of times things come into your life that you can't change. And you got to just trust the Lord that He'll bring them through you. Bring you through those trials. And then remember all the benefits that you have because of your union to Jesus Christ. Blessed, it says in I hate when my mind goes blank. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings are yours. Realize that as a child of God, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Read Romans chapter 8. He gives you the last paragraph of Romans 8. Gives you every conceivable way that men and devils could get you to be separated from the love of God. And the Bible says we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Never lose the focus or purpose of why you're here. It's not about you. Now, I think it's a great bonus that God does give us happiness and joy. But really, our purpose is to glorify God. To be spent in His service. It's not about me. It's about honoring God. And then, understand that no matter what happens, no matter how bad your day or week or year or decade may be, realize that you're heading to heaven. You're going to the glories of a place where you're going to enjoy the presence of the Lord for all eternity. We have a promise in Isaiah 33:17, "Thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. They shall behold a land that is very far off." These are some things that ought to make you and I happy if we would focus on the Lord every day and not so much on what we think we deserve. May God help us to think ourselves happy. You know, as I was studying for this message, I have to admit, I felt ashamed of myself in some respects. I've never gone through a fraction of what the Apostle Paul had to go through. I've never come close to losing my life for preaching the gospel. There's many times that I get unhappy over things of such little consequence. And I pray that God will help me to do better. That I'll remember this message. And like Paul, I'll think myself to be happy in Jesus Christ. Let's all stand.
Page number 20.